Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Amy Miller, also known as Stephanie Mellor, is a 1996 graduate of Lee, now Legacy, High School, a cancer survivor, and most recently, a published author. Midland firefighters join effort to combat Panhandle wildfires by B. K. Richter. The Texas A&M Forest Service reports that the Panhandle fires have burned more than 1.1 million acres of land, making it the largest wildfire in Texas history. Two Midland firefighters have joined the efforts to combat the wildfires, in addition to other regional firefighters in Odessa. During bipartisan talks on an immigration deal that would have toughened access for migrants, Biden himself said he'd be willing to shut down the border right now should the deal pass. The talks looked promising for a while, but Trump, who didn't want to give Biden a political win on one of his signature campaign issues, convinced Republicans to kill the deal. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican Louisiana, declared the deal dead on arrival. Obituaries and death notices. Barbara J. McMillan Bright. After a lengthy illness, Barbara J. McMillan Bright passed away on February 19, 2024. She was born on August 31, 1937, in Levelland, Texas, to Gordon and Effie McMillan. She was preceded in death by her parents and her grandson, Austin Fannin. She is survived by her three children, Kathy Fletcher, Sam Bright, and Susie Perkins, seven grandchildren and three great-grandchildren, also her sister, Patsy Staggs, and her brother, Butch McMillan. Memorial gifts may be made to jameslwest.org. Randy Miguel Rodriguez. Randy Miguel Rodriguez, 42, passed away on Monday, February 26, 2024. Viewing will be Sunday, March 3, 2024, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., with a rosary beginning at 7 o'clock p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral Mass is set for Monday, March 4, 2024, at 10 o'clock a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens.
We are all better for his efforts. Sewell is Odessa's Citizen of the Year. The Odessa Chamber is excited to honor Colin Sewell as Citizen of the Year. Colin's vision and leadership make Odessa a better place for business and life. We are grateful for his love for Odessa and dedication to our community. Judd Campbell, Chamber Board Chair, by Laura Dennis, ldennis@oaoamgt.com. It's all about faith, family, and serving the community for the Odessa Chamber of Commerce. The Parks Bell family has been friends with Colin Sewell and his extended family for over 30 years. Colin has always exhibited the very best qualities of kindness, honesty, and humility through all the ups and downs of living and working in the Permian Basin. Above all that, the thing that we love most about Colin is his commitment to his faith, his family, his employees, and his beloved Odessa, Texas. His passion for working tirelessly for the future of Odessa and all its citizens is a model for us all to follow. Larry Bell, 2024 Citizen of the Year. Colin Sewell praises his team and family and jokes that his honor is because they ran out of people, so they had to get a used car salesman. It's really the bottom of the barrel. Sewell smiles and quickly adds, "It is wonderful to be honored by his hometown as the 2024 Citizen of the Year." A lunch is scheduled at 11:30 a.m. Monday at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Joining Sewell for Monday's lunch will be his parents and wife Megan and son Nolan. His other two sons are away at college. Harris is at Clemson University and Meacham is at Texas A&M University. He said it was tough on a dad to see their parking spots empty at home. He's a proud dad and said he hopes he has taught his sons what his grandfather and father instilled in him. "They instilled in me a belief that this community is what supported us and it's the reason we exist. and we have a responsibility to make sure we have a great community. The Sewell family has been in Odessa since 1935 when brothers Woody and Carl Sewell purchased Sewell Ford. It's four generations later with Colin Sewell at the helm of what is so much more than cars. Colin Sewell's leadership, compassion, and commitment to positive change have modernized Odessa and left an incredible mark across the Permian Basin. Colin's tireless efforts to enhance the quality of life for our community not only embody the spirit of civic duty, but also epitomize the values that make Odessa such a remarkable place to call home. With a unique vision and unwavering determination, Colin Sewell has set a standard of excellence for others to follow. Shelby and I congratulate Colin on being named Odessa Citizens of the Year, and we also recognize Megan Sewell for her contributions to make Colin's remarkable achievements possible. State Representative Brooks Landgraf. Colin is so dedicated to the success of Odessa and the area. He invests his time, talent, and treasure to make improvements and positive changes that will impact generations. He researches issues, needs, and answers himself, not relying on others. When Colin makes a commitment to serve or support, it's not a decision made lightly. He wants to make an impact in a big way, and his actions show that. Odessa is fortunate to have such an incredible advocate and resource in Colin Sewell. The Odessa Chamber is honored to celebrate him with this award. He now oversees Sewell Ford, Sewell Lincoln, Sewell BMW of the Permian Basin, Sewell Cadillac of the Permian Basin, Sewell GMC of Midland, Sewell Chevrolet Buick GMC of Andrews, Sewell Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Andrews, Press Cafe, and the Parks Legato Town Center. Sewell is so much more than a used car salesman. He is what makes Odessa great. He's a volunteer, businessman, and philanthropist. He bucked the trend of growing up in Odessa, heading off to college, and then deciding not to come home to Odessa for his career. He came back and has had to hand in so many of Odessa's great accomplishments. He said at age 24, he made the decision that Odessa would remain his home. "It was one of the biggest decisions I made as a young professional here," Sewell said. "I wanted to help define the future of the Permian Basin. I put myself on that trajectory, but I had a lot of people who helped me with that." He points to former Odessa Mayor Lorraine Perryman, who helped him acknowledge a passion for education by asking him to be a founding member of the Education Foundation of Odessa. "I always had a seed of passion for education because my mom was a teacher." He said that being asked to get involved by Perryman put him on a path of service and volunteer support. "It gave me an avenue to really be able to support and work with education." Perryman said it has been a great pleasure to work with Sewell since he was young and just taking over the family automobile dealerships. "He has consistently pursued and led initiatives to improve our community, even as he has expanded his business footprint to become a leading employer in the area," she said. "His leadership, philanthropy, faith, and civic engagement have enhanced our city in innumerable ways, and we are all better for his efforts." Sewell is also involved with the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, Opportunity Odessa, Equip Global Leadership, the John Maxwell Leadership Foundation, and is vice chair of IDEA Public Schools. Sewell and his companies and his employees have many charitable organizations they support, but he said education and young people are at the top of his list. His various educational endeavors are critical to help define the future of the Permian Basin. "Education has to be at the top of that," he said. "Education for so many, I think, is the fork in the family tree that can forever change the future of a family." He said when he speaks about education, he also means workforce training. "Future generations are given a door of opportunity to walk through called education," he said. "If students receive a great education, they have opportunities that those without will never have. Not everyone has to go get their PhD, but it means that they are given access to something that they wouldn't have had otherwise." Sewell is the vice chair of IDEA Public Schools and said he believes in choice. He said he was introduced to IDEA in 2018 and was blown away by the culture in the schools, which boast huge graduation and college-bound rates for students. "They take the very same students our traditional ISDs don't have the same success with and put them on a rocket ship, in my opinion, to success," Sewell was named to the National Idea Board and then later became the acting CEO. He spent 2 years as part of the direct leadership of the organization. Nationally, Idea has a staff of 12,000 people and about 86,000 students. He is no longer acting CEO, but will still serve on the board. Not bad for a used car salesman. He always gives credit to others and said Odessa has many amazing volunteers and givers. That includes a number of young professionals. He said that things are happening in Odessa that are positive, like the recent ECISD bond election. It's a new generation making things happen, he said. Rise to the occasion. There are a lot of kind people here. The biggest responsibility we have as a community is to give people an outlet to get involved. He said often people don't know where to plug in, and it is the responsibility of longtime Odessans to help guide them along. Well, I think my family's DNA has always been about helping people, Sewell added. He shared how he knew at one point he needed to become a better business and community leader. In 2000, he read Developing the Leader Within You, and it moved him. I looked in the mirror and realized the problem was me, he recalled. I had to learn to become a better leader, and I had to be better at understanding team dynamics, and I had to understand what growth looked like. And so for me, that book entered, you know, into my life at a time that I was at a crossroads, and so I realized that I wanted to make that kind of wisdom available to other people. And so for me, that's where it started. It's always in my DNA. I mean, that's how we were all wired. He said at one point prior to that, he couldn't get excited about selling cars and found a new way to look at it. I decided to change my attitude. It's hard. And what I did was I went from thinking about selling cars to thinking about how we serve people. I took our whole belief about what we do to a new level, which was that we were in the memory-making business. And what I mean by that is we help people's memories become true. And what I mean by that is some of the greatest memories you and I've ever had have been in an automobile. He said homecoming dates, driving off after getting married, or even heading to the hospital to have a baby are all done in cars. Memories. It was a simple change in the way he looked at things. That attitude has made Sewell the kind of guy that people don't want to work for. They want to do great work for him. We want to be a place where people love to work and love to do business, he said. That order matters. Our first priority is for people to make sure this is a great place to work. That, in turn, makes it a great place to do business. Sewell said he strives to lead a company that would be missed by the community if it ceased to exist. Certainly, the community would miss the support of everything from Habitat for Humanity to the Salvation Army to IDEA and even Sewell's Big Serve, which is a time when employees spread across the community to rebuild homes or pack food for the food bank. He said 300 to 400 of his 650 employees typically attend the Big Serve. It's about standing in the gap to help various organizations. I try not to say no any more than I have to, and there are so many good places out there. He's proud of having employees who see the need to volunteer in the community. He believes most people in life are looking for both success and purpose. He pushes those around him to get that gratifying feeling of significance. Because success is what I do for myself and what I do for my family, and significance is what I do for other people and for other people who could never repay me, he said. Once you taste significance, success will never be enough. Sewell said his company is called to a higher purpose and for understanding that employees are part of something bigger in the community by making an impact and serving others. That is the reward in life. Being Citizen of the Year is humbling, he said. I almost turned it down because I didn't want the recognition. My hope is when you think about somebody who's named the Citizen of the Year is that you would be known as someone who has made their community better than they found it. They have genuine motives and genuine heart for making the community better. Used car salesman? Nope. One of Odessa's great shining stars.
Barrage of gunfire as officers confront Houston megachurch shooter released body cam footage shows. Body camera footage released by Houston police on Monday showed off-duty police officers with weapons drawn as they confronted a woman who opened fire at celebrity pastor Joel Osteen's Houston megachurch earlier this month before she was gunned down. The footage also showed blurred images of the shooter's young son, who was brought to the church by his mother and was injured in the gunfire. Officers could be heard urgently asking for medical help for the boy. Houston police released footage from two of its officers who were working security at Lakewood Church, as well as video from a Harris County Sheriff's Office deputy. It showed officers crouching with handguns out amid the sound of repeated loud gunshots. Footage from one body camera showed people chatting before suddenly jolting at the sound of the first gunshot. Confused, some began running, and then rapid gunfire ensued. Bystanders could be seen taking cover in rooms and hallways as officers ran toward the sound of shots being fired. Police say Janice Moreno, 36, entered the church on February 11th between Sunday services with her 7-year-old son and began firing an AR-style rifle. Moreno did not reach the main sanctuary and was killed after exchanging gunfire with two off-duty officers. Two people were wounded in the shooting, including Moreno's young son. He was shot in the head and remains hospitalized. Security camera video from Lakewood, also released Monday by police, showed Moreno arriving at the church in a white SUV and taking her son Samuel out of the back seat and walking toward the building. The woman was wearing a black shirt, striped pants, boots, and a loose-fitting tan-colored French trench coat. In the video footage, gunshots could be heard ringing throughout the church building as officers closed in on the source of the shooting. "Put the weapon down now," an officer can be heard shouting before firing his weapon. Another officer cautioned she may have a bomb. Additional security video from the church, which didn't have sound, showed the boy covering his ears after his mother walked off screen. She then came near him and he reached his arms out to her. She then walked off screen again. The boy appeared to be in a recessed doorway. In the footage, Moreno could be heard saying, "You killed my son." She later said, "Stand down, I have a bomb. I have an expletive bomb." Gunfire could be heard as she talked. Images of the child seen wearing orange pants and a yellow shirt were blurred after he was wounded in the shooting. Paramedics were summoned by multiple officers who requested help after seeing the young boy laying face up on the carpeted hallway. "We have a kid that's down, about 3 bullets to his head," one officer reported over his radio. Houston police have not said who fired the shots that wounded the boy. Later, an officer reported over the radio, "Shooter is down. Looks like she's got something strapped to her chest." Another officer requested the bomb squad. Although a blue backpack could be seen near her side as she was down, officers later said no explosives were found. Houston Police Chief Troy Finner said in a statement on X, formerly known as Twitter, that the footage may be unsettling to members of the community. "While we know there are unanswered questions, this is still an active investigation," Finner said. "We will continue to work with our local, state, and federal law enforcement partners to thoroughly examine all aspects of this incident." Police have told reporters that investigators were still trying to determine Moreno's motive and learn more about how she obtained the AR-style rifle she used. In posts on Facebook from last week, Wally Carranza, the boy's grandmother, said that her grandson, Samuel, was breathing well on his own after doctors had removed a breathing tube. Carranza said Samuel has had 6 surgeries. "Will he be able to have any semblance of a normal life? I have no idea," Carranza wrote in a post on Saturday. On Sunday, Carranza said Samuel had looked up at her and smiled. Biden and Trump are both heading to the Mexico border in Texas on Thursday, AP sources say. President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump will make dueling trips to the Mexican border in Texas on Thursday after congressional talks on a deal to rein in illegal migration collapsed, according to people familiar with the plans. The visit underscores immigration central importance in the 2024 presidential race and how much both Biden and Trump are seeking to use the nation's broken system to their political advantage. Biden will travel to Brownsville in the Rio Grande Valley, an area that often sees large numbers of border crossings. Said three people who spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity to discuss the president's plans before they had been announced. He will meet border agents and discuss the need for bipartisan legislation, the people said. It would be his second visit to the border as president. He traveled to El Paso in January last year. Trump, for his part, will head to Eagle Pass, about 325 miles or 520 kilometers away from Brownsville, another hot spot in the state-federal clash over border security, according to three people who spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity to discuss the plans. The number of people who are illegally crossing the U.S. border has been rising for complicated reasons that include climate change, war, and unrest in other nations, the economy, and cartels that see migration as a cash cow. The administration has been pairing crackdowns at the border with increasing legal pathways for migration designed to steer people into arriving by plane with sponsors, not illegally on foot to the border, but U.S. policy right now allows migration immigrants to claim asylum regardless of how they arrive, and the numbers of migrants flowing to the U.S.-Mexico border have far outpaced the capacity of an immigration system that has not been substantially updated in decades. Arrests for illegal crossings fell by half in January, but there were record highs in December. Biden has excoriated Republicans for abandoning the bipartisan border deal after Trump came out in opposition to the plan to tighten asylum restrictions and create daily limits on border crossings. Trump, meanwhile, has dialed up his anti-immigrant rhetoric, suggesting migrants are poisoning the blood of Americans. Trump's campaign says Biden's plan to visit the border is a sign that the president is on the defensive over immigration and the issue is a problem for his reelection effort. Biden's camp says it's House Republicans who are on the defensive. After Trump flatly said he told GOP legislators to tank the bill that would have funded border agents and other Homeland Security authorities, the New York Times first reported the travel. According to an AP NORC poll in January, concerns over immigration climbed to 35% from 27% last year. Most Republicans, 55%, say the government needs to focus on immigration in 2024, while 22% of Democrats listed immigration as a priority. That's up from 45% and 14% respectively, compared with December 2022. Trump is again making immigration the centerpiece of his campaign, seizing on images of migrants sleeping in police stations and in hangars as proof that Biden's policy have failed. He's made frequent trips to the border as a candidate and president. During his 2016 campaign, he traveled to Laredo in July 2015 for a visit that highlighted how his view on immigration helped him win media attention and support from the GOP base. Since leaving office, he's been to the border at least twice, including to pick up the endorsement of Texas Governor Greg Abbott. The failure of the border bill this month has caused the Homeland Security Department, which controls the border, to assess its priorities and shift money between its agencies to plug holes. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is considering slashing detention beds from 22,000 from 38,000 and reducing deportation flights. That would mean more migrants released into the U.S. who arrive at the border. Biden, meanwhile, visited the border only once, and he did not come into contact with any migrants. Rather, he inspected customs and border protection facilities and walked a stretch of border wall. During negotiations on the border bill, he suggested he'd shut down asylum if given the power. A remarkable shift to the right for Democrats who are increasingly concerned by the same scenes of migrants' encampments and are asking the administration to speed up work authorizations so families who have arrived can at least seek employment. Biden is considering executive actions to help stop the flow of migrants into the U.S. Among the actions under consideration by Biden is invoking authorities outlined in Section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act, which give a president broad leeway to block entry of certain immigrants into the U.S. if it would be detrimental to the national interest. But without changes to law, any executive action taken by the administration that cracks down on border crossing is likely to be challenged in court.
Master Gardeners, Growing Ground Cherries. This was written by Master Gardeners Debbie Rowland and Emmy Elm Schneider. Ground cherries are easy to grow with minimal pests and diseases. Although you may not recognize a ground cherry, you might be familiar with a close relative, tomatillos. Tomatillos, ground cherries, and their close relatives, peppers, eggplants, potatoes, and tomatoes, are all members of the same family, a family rich in food plants. Although tomatillos are commonly eaten as a savory, ground cherries can be eaten raw like fruit, or used in preserves, jams, jellies, or pies. Although they look like tomatoes, the small yellow ground cherry fruits have a tropical pineapple flavor. Ground cherries originated in the Americas, where they have been cultivated for centuries. A testament to their popularity, explorers, colonists, and immigrants quickly spread ground cherries around the world. By the 1800s, Aunt Molly's ground cherry was being grown in Pennsylvania, and that cultivar is still available today. This plant is also called a husk tomato because when it is green, the fruit develops inside a husk. The ground cherry's genus name, Physalis, means bladder, which refers to this husk. For us, they are annuals and, like most vegetables, are planted in the spring. They grow rapidly up to 3 feet tall with tooth-edged green leaves and creamy yellow flowers before bearing fruit. The branches are brittle, so consider growing them in a tomato cage or tied to a support to keep the branches off the ground. It needs to be noted that the only part of the plant that is edible is the fruit. The remainder of the plant is toxic to pets and to people. Today, there are many hybrids and varieties of ground cherries. They can be planted in containers, raised beds, or in-ground gardens in full sun to dappled shade with well-drained soil. They grow best in warm soil, so give them time. The good news is that they are not picky about the soil type, but adding organic matter will make them happy, so add compost when planning to get a good crop. Mulching the plants with straw or compost will help you find the ripe fruits later in the season. You can use transplants or start seeds indoors 6 weeks before the last frost date. If planting seeds outdoors, seeds should be no deeper than 1/4 inch. Be patient. It can take up to 14 days for the seeds to germinate. Expect to harvest about 70 days later and continue until the first frost. The husks start to turn papery and brown when the fruits are ripe. Some will drop to the ground, hence their name ground cherries. If you don't get them off the ground, the fruit will break down and gift you with seedlings everywhere. Harvest the fruits and refrigerate for 2 to 3 weeks. If you want to store them longer, leave the husks intact and place them in a single layer in a cool area, or freeze the fruits in a single layer, repackage them in a freezer bag, and store in the freezer. These plants can produce up to 300 fruits per plant, growing until the first frost. It will only take about 4 plants for a family of 4. Basil, parsley, onions, carrots, and hot peppers are all good companion plants, but don't plant close to corn, fennel, dill, or potatoes, as they will compete for similar soil resources. Like tomatoes, ground cherries are self-pollinators, but will attract pollinators to your garden. Large bumblebees and some native bees are large enough to buzz pollinate. In gathering pollen, these bees shake the flower so vigorously that the pollen is vibrated loose and can collect on their body and be transferred to another plant. So, if you want to try a plant with a long history, a world traveler, content to grow in small or large spaces, consider welcoming ground cherries into your garden. If you have questions, call the AgriLife office in Odessa at 498-4071 or in Midland at 686-4700. Additional information and our blog for access to past articles is available at westtexasgardening.org. Click on Resources.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, February 24th, 2024. Religion. Road to Emmaus holds important lessons. Reverends Hutto and Reef say Jesus walked with disciples after resurrection. By Bob Campbell. Christians will be more heedful of God if they stay connected to Him through prayer, reading the Bible, and attending church. That's according to the Reverends Bill Hutto and Joshua Reef, who say that is the main lesson in the story of the road to Emmaus in Luke 24:13-35 and Mark 16:12-13, where the disciple Cleopas and an unidentified disciple are joined by the just resurrected Jesus as they walk. These disciples didn't recognize Jesus till he got to a certain point when their eyes were opened, said the Reverend Hutto, pastor of Sunset Heights Baptist Church. They didn't recognize him because of their loss and grief and because things hadn't gone the way they expected. Not knowing God's plan caught them by surprise. This story shows it's important for believers to stay connected to the Lord so that we recognize Him when He is speaking to us. After He disappeared, they remembered that He had told them He would rise from the dead. They got the message and hurried right back to Jerusalem. It's an example for us to share that same excitement. Hutto said he had recently been inspired by a 2010 movie titled Road to Emmaus and starring Bruce Marciano. The Reverend Reef, pastor of Southside Baptist Church in Monahans, said the story has inspired annual Walk to Emmaus gatherings in March for men and in October for women at the Circle 6 Baptist Camp and Conference Center north of Stanton and around the state. Our biggest theme is that Jesus was unrecognizable in that form, because he was not what they expected, and that God in our modern context is so different from what we expect that we might not recognize him, Reef said. Cleopas and his companion were part of the larger group of the disciples, not of the 12. When Jesus and his disciples reached Emmaus, 7 miles west of Jerusalem, and were having dinner in the late evening, Jesus disappeared when he broke bread and the disciples recognized him. So it is that the breaking of the communal bread symbolizes not only the broken body of Jesus, but also the fellowship of believers, Reeve said. The loaf represents the unity of the people. The second big moment is in Luke 24:32, when the disciples, looking back, ask, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke?" There must be an element in our faith of hearing God's word and having an internal Holy Spirit sense that what we're hearing is true. Reeve said the reality of God is the opposite of the misconception that he will always conform to the images in the Bible, like his appearance to Moses in a burning bush or to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. God is a living, dynamic being who acts in different ways at different times, he said. He is just not that predictable. It's Time to Do Some Spring Cleaning by William F. Holland, Jr., Ph.D., ordained and licensed Christian minister. Do you believe there is such a thing as good and evil, God and Satan? When something good happens, do you thank God because you believe he blessed you? What about when something bad happens? In Jeremiah 29:11, the God of the Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Looking at this carefully, we notice that our life was mapped out before we were born, and our Creator had every intention to give us an abundant life filled with wisdom, confidence, peace, and hope. Do you believe this? On the other side, according to Revelation 12:10, there is an evil devil who is our enemy, and one of his objectives is to falsely accuse God's children. He constantly whispers, "You're not good enough. God is angry with you. You can't do anything right. Nobody cares about you, and you will never amount to anything." Have you ever had negative persuasions like these? Today, if you sense a dark influence of discouragement, please realize these are lies and deceptions coming from the dark side. We just read the passage where God said he loves you and wants a wonderful life for you. God is absolute truth and cannot lie, while the devil is the father of all lies. So who will you believe? Read John 10:10. The enemy wants us to be so focused on the criticism, rejection, and derogatory comments to trick us into believing we are defeated. It's a bluff. He is tempting you to take the bait and accept that you are not worthy to live an abundant life. Another lie. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror and a joint heir to all of God's promises. Emotional pain is such a powerful distraction that we can hardly focus on anything else. However, when we turn that energy into faith, we can walk in the revelation that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Ask Jesus to open your eyes so that you might see his truth more clearly. When we are being attacked, we must fight back with prayer and praise and allow God's holy word to saturate our hearts. Every scripture you embrace floods your life with an understanding of who God is and who you are in him. 1 Peter 2:9 says that you have been chosen by the Almighty God. Is there any higher respect? People may overlook you, ignore you, and criticize you, but the spiritually blind do not have the discernment to see who God says you are. The Creator of all things has called you to be his vessel of honor. He accepts you as his child and not only desires to walk with you now, but for all eternity. He looked at you and said, I choose you. He's my son. I chose her. She's my daughter. That's who I want to be with forever. Maybe you've been told that something is wrong with you or that you will never be good enough. But the Bible promises in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for the Father made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. After accepting the love and mercy of his covenant salvation, when the Father sees you, he sees Jesus, and this gives him great joy. God declares your life is worth living. He has made you righteous through his grace, which is the authority that forgives us and allows us to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's time to do some spring cleaning within our minds. Sweep out all those pessimistic thoughts and clean out the garbage of discouraging emotions so that God can renew our minds and accomplish his perfect plans within us. You are only held in the bondage of despair and discouragement as long as you accept Satan's taunting. Let us declare Psalm 139:14, I will praise you, O God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and this my soul knows well. Choose life. Choose truth. You are talented, creative, intelligent, anointed, and filled with the Holy Spirit. You are all these things and more. You just have to believe it. Lies, deceptions, and negative thoughts can only drive us when we give them our keys. Dr. Holland is a Christian minister, author, and chaplain. On the net, BillyHollandMinistries.com. Faithful in Little, Faithful in Much, by Reverend Landon Coleman, pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Luke 16:10. In this verse, Jesus was teaching his disciples a basic lesson about stewardship. The immediate lesson was about money, and of course Christians need to understand the biblical concept of stewardship when it comes to money. However, rightly understood, stewardship is about being faithful with whatever the Lord has entrusted to you. Money, talents, opportunities, family, and influence, just to list a few possibilities. Nothing that we have is ours by way of right or accomplishment, and everything we have is a gift from the Lord, a gift for which we will one day give an account. A helpful example of stewardship can be found in the life of Barnabas. Consider the following highlights from Barnabas' resume. He was the first to befriend and recruit a great missionary, Paul. He was trusted with large mission offerings. He was involved in pioneering mission work. He was part of an important, pivotal church council. He was willing to separate from Paul to give a young believer a second chance. These are great acts performed by a remarkable leader. Many young leaders in the church long for such a resume, one that gives them opportunity and status and recognition. It is at this point that Barnabas proves a helpful example of biblical stewardship. Long before Barnabas proved himself faithful in big things, he first proved himself faithful in little things. Consider the following examples. The first thing we learn about Barnabas is that he was an encourager, Acts 4:36. His real name was Joseph, but the apostles nicknamed him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. This is a helpful insight into Barnabas' faithfulness in something little. One does not have to take title, position, or prestige to be an encourager. One only needs a willingness to seek out the good in others and to share a word of kindness to a fellow believer. You don't have to have a special giftedness or a unique skill set to be an encourager. You only have to set out to speak true, gospel-centered, encouraging words to another person. Long before Barnabas was asked to speak at the Jerusalem Council, he was faithful in the little work of encouraging God's people. The second thing we learn about Barnabas is that he was a good steward of his money, Acts 4:37. Luke tells us that among the early believers, a remarkable spirit of generosity prevented any from having unmet needs. Those who had money or property understood that what they had did not really belong to them. It belonged to the Lord. These good stewards were willing to sell their property so that others might not go without. Barnabas was one of these generous individuals who sold a field that he owned and set the money at the apostles' feet. Long before Barnabas was called to be part of the first missionary team, he was faithful in the little work of giving. It doesn't take a special person to be faithful in giving, nor does it take a wealthy person. Only a person who is willing to be faithful with whatever the Lord has entrusted to them.
Man arrested, charged with distribution of child porn in Midland. FBI agents arrested and charged a man in Midland with the distribution of child pornography. According to court documents received by the Reporter-Telegram, FBI agents served a search warrant February 8th on Jonathan Chase Russell at the Permian Lodging Midland Lodge, 2801 South County Road, 1180, for evidence about the distribution of child pornography. During the search, Russell was taken to the Midland Resident Agency and interviewed by the Texas Department of Public Safety, Criminal Investigation Division, and two special agents with the FBI. Russell was arrested February 9th on charges of distribution of child pornography. He is being held without bail. An affidavit from FBI Special Agent William H. Livingstone revealed that an FBI employee was participating in an undercover capacity on an encrypted messaging system called TeleGuard. On January 30th, the undercover officer was in a child pornography trading room and observed a user known as, quote, Toddy Lover, end quote, distribute 15 images that depicted the sexual abuse of two children. One image depicted lewd and graphic acts between an adult male and a young female child. Another depicted the, quote, lewd and lascivious display, end quote, of a prepubescent female genitalia, according to court documents filed in the Western District of Texas with Judge Ronald Griffin presiding. During an attempt to uncover the identity of Russell, undercover FBI operatives engaged in a direct messaging conversation with the person using the online profile. The user said how he knew and he had access to the children, according to court documents. Russell was interviewed by law enforcement. During the process of that interview, court documents indicate Russell acknowledged taking images of a girl lying on her bed. An image taken January 2nd and a series of images taken September 19th, 2023, were uncovered and appeared to involve a girl of 45 years of age, according to court records. Court documents describe the image as containing the lewd display of the genitalia of a prepubescent female. According to reports, Russell described the contact he had with the child. A waiver of a preliminary hearing and a detention hearing was signed February 14th. This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter-Telegram Health and Wellness for Wednesday, February 28th, 2024. American Heart Month. Cultivating your wellness this spring. My mother is an incredible gardener. Her backyard is full of rows and clusters of blooms that explode in color every year. Bees, butterflies, and hummingbirds are frequent visitors. When I was younger, I thought she could just look at a piece of ground and make something amazing grow. Through the years, I learned that her beautiful garden is the result of intentional habits that create a space for those delightful, healthy explosions of color and fragrance. February is American Heart Month. Spring is right around the corner and brings a fresh breath of renewal. We focus on being our best selves this time of year. Practicing healthier habits as part of the new year as we prepare for the spring and summer months ahead. Just like healthy habits, new blooms are starting to emerge. Beautiful gardens don't just happen. They require time, effort, and patience. As it turns out, you don't inherit a green thumb. You must learn and practice intentional habits. Seeds must be planted, weeds must be plucked, and care must be taken to water, fertilize, and tend the spaces so beautiful things can grow. Like my mother's garden, a healthy heart is something we can cultivate. Healthy hearts can be grown and tended with healthy behaviors. Unhealthy hearts are less likely to be caused by genetics than behaviors. Unhealthy habits must be pruned to make space for healthy habits to thrive. With time and intention, even hearts with some challenges can become stronger and healthier. What habits lead to a healthy heart? According to the Inter-Heart study, investigators that examined heart disease in 52 countries showed 90% of cardiac diseases around the world can be explained by risk factors that we can change through healthier choices. These risk factors are the weeds in your heart garden: high cholesterol and blood lipids, smoking, high blood pressure, diabetes, extra abdominal weight, stress and lack of social connection, lower intake of fruits and vegetables, higher alcohol consumption, and lack of physical activity. Start today with healthy choices to help change those risk factors. Eat meals full of fresh fruits, vegetables, beans, and whole grains. Limit or eliminate unhealthy fats like butter, baked goods, full-fat, dairy products, and animal-based foods. Decrease sodium intake. Avoid adding additional salt to meals. Get at least 150 minutes of physical activity each week, more if you need to lose weight. Manage your diabetes well. Keep your A1C in a healthy range. Stop smoking. Minimize alcohol consumption. Manage stress levels. Practice deep breathing and mindfulness. Connect socially with others who encourage you. Plant the seeds for good health. Make one healthy choice, then make another. Tend your heart garden daily in healthy habits so they take root and grow. With the advent of spring, get the family involved. Spend some time outside together and plant lettuce seeds in a pot. Eat your harvest. That's good for your heart garden and your yard garden. Even the best gardeners sometimes need help. Call us at the Lifestyle Medicine Center today, 432-221-LIFE, 5433. For additional information and support from one of our experts to get started, at the Lifestyle Medicine Center we offer consultations with a lifestyle medicine certified physician or nurse practitioner, registered dietitian services, Eat Love Nutrition prescriptions tailored to your needs, the LIFT Project, a lifestyle-based mental health and well-being program, personalized health coaching packages, Pritikin Intensive Cardiac Rehab, Pivot Smoking Cessation.
Ivermectin rendered useless for COVID and similar viruses. Dear Dr. Roach, my friends do not believe in the COVID vaccines and take ivermectin instead. They seem to have frequent colds. Shouldn't ivermectin help prevent these colds? Anon. Answer. You should not listen to those friends about the COVID vaccine or ivermectin. The COVID vaccine is the major reason that the number of deaths per week in the United States due to COVID-19 went from over 26,000 per week in January 2021 to about 1,500 per week at the time I write this. The data on ivermectin are now very strong that it is ineffective at reducing illness, hospitalization, or death. Moreover, there was no reason to suspect that ivermectin would be helpful with viral diseases like COVID-19 or other respiratory viruses. The dose needed to be effective against viruses should not be obtained at non-toxic levels. Ivermectin toxicity became a problem as some people took medication that was designed for animals for external use at toxic dosages. To be fair, people who are vaccinated against COVID-19 still get colds. Many of the non-COVID respiratory viruses that cause colds are not amenable to vaccination. There are so many of them, and they frequently change. In some cases, the body doesn't respond well to the vaccine. Perhaps these issues will eventually be overcome. To Your Good Health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. In-laws keep spouses off family-only text thread. Dear Abby, I recently married and I was excited to be part of my husband's family. My own siblings and I are not particularly close. During COVID, one of my husband's sisters started a family text chain in which they share what's happening in their lives. I thought it was a great idea. Not technically being a family member yet, I understood why I wasn't included in the thread, but after our wedding, I wasn't added to the chain. Come to find out, none of the spouses are included. I've also learned from my husband that his mother really had no use for any of her kids' spouses, because technically, we are not one of them. They aren't sharing earth-shattering information with one another. It's normally fun stuff or things their kids are up to, etc. It is very hurtful that I'm not included. I have to hear everything secondhand from my husband. Am I wrong to feel this way? I asked him to add me to the list, and he tried, but he couldn't. Instead of pursuing it with his sister, he just dropped it. I have asked him several times to see what he can do, to no avail. I feel he doesn't have my back. Your advice? Left out in Florida. Dear Left Out, your husband doesn't have enough power in his family to do what you have been requesting, which is regrettable. Rather than pout, consider starting a text chain of your own, comprising of all the outcasts who have been excluded from our bloodline and nobody else chain. It might be fun, and you may find it's a club that is welcoming and has some interesting things to say. Dear Abby, my wife of 26 years is having an affair with another married man. We have teenage kids, and so does he. She has been having him over and meeting him out for the last 4 months. The kids have noticed how she takes off in the middle of the day for hours to do a solo hike. Several times, my teenage daughter has called me at work, frantic, saying Mom is not answering either of her phones and was supposed to pick her up at the agreed-upon location. My wife claims to love us both and wants to continue both relationships. For our family's sake, it is sad that this has happened. He is the manager of a local business, and I encounter him from time to time. I want to ask him how he thinks this is okay. What should I do? Sharing her in Massachusetts. Dear Sharing Her, make up your mind about what kind of marriage you want. If it's what you are experiencing now, do nothing. However, if it isn't, tell your wandering wife she must end the affair now. Offer her the option of counseling to see if you can get your marriage back on track. Instead of talking with the man she's having the fling with, tell his wife what has been happening if she's unaware that your wife is so irresponsible she would leave her daughter stranded while she's hiking is disgraceful. If your wife refuses counseling, contact an attorney. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.